will, in this morning's text passage, we're introduced to a woman with an incurable disease, one that had persisted for 12 long years. And as I already mentioned, this caught my attention, was of kind of special interest to me, since as of a couple of years ago, I have an incurable disease. And all the doctors in her day that she went to were unable to help her. None of them had any remedies that worked or were effective. Not only that, but what many of them did to her actually resulted in making her worse, not better. The parallel account in Mark's Gospel in chapter 5, verse 26, just make a note of it, says that she had suffered many things at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Now, that's not a slam on the medical field in general. It's just speaking of this particular woman's experience a very long time ago. But Luke, who I trust you know was a physician, a medical doctor in his day, described this woman's condition simply as a flow or an issue of blood, suggesting that it may well have been related to her womanhood, perhaps a chronic uterine hemorrhage of some sort, a flow of blood that never ended. But whatever the precise nature of this continuous hemorrhaging was, this woman had suffered terribly with an incurable disease for 12 long years. However, we would be, I think, very short-sighted, would we not, if all we saw in this account was the record of Christ healing one woman with an incurable disease. Because in fact, the account of this woman's incurable condition has much to say about an incurable condition that you and I and everyone who's ever lived has. In a sense, this woman represents every one of us, all of humanity. The theme of this passage is Christ heals an incurable disease. And if we have eyes, spiritual eyes, to see it, it's a striking illustration of how the spiritually sick come to Christ and are healed by Him of their spiritual infirmities. And I trust you'd agree with me that the many instances of physical healing in Scripture are not simply to show us that alone, but rather they have a deeper and a more significant meaning than something merely physical. So rather than look at this woman's healing as an isolated individual event within the physical realm, let's look at it as an event that has spiritual application for each and every one of us. This woman's journey from physical sickness to physical health is a picture. It's a picture of the journey of every Christian from spiritual sickness to spiritual health, and from sin's defilement to the soul's healing. So let's look at the parallels between this woman's condition and ours. But before we do, let's first look at the context and setting in which the passage comes to us in verse 40 to 42. Let's look at that once again. Here's the first picture, as it were. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, an important person. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now here's the setting and context of the passage. The account of the woman with an incurable disease is kind of like, think of it as a story within a story. We find it wedged into the middle of another story. We illustrate. Perhaps you've seen how TV or internet news, and especially sporting events, simultaneously presents two events on the screen at the same time. We've all seen this, right? While the main event is on the big screen, there's another smaller screen in the corner simultaneously showing a second event. Well, in verse 40 of chapter 8 to the end of the chapter, verse 56, what Luke records are two events that occurred at the same time. It's two stories woven together with some interesting parallels and contrasts. There's the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus dying of an unnamed disease, and an unnamed woman who for 12 years has suffered with a chronic incurable disease. First, on the big screen, Luke introduces us to a big person, as it were, a ruler in the Jewish synagogue named Jairus. And then after introducing him and the plight of his daughter in verses 40 to 42, he then shifts our attention to the smaller screen, where we see a small person, a poor, wretched, unnamed outcast of society with an incurable disease. But despite his high standing in the synagogue, Jairus assumes a low posture and position before Jesus. When in verse 41, you'll notice he fell down at his feet and begged him to come to his house. The physical condition of his daughter made Jairus a desperate man. She was his only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying, wrote Luke. And upon Jairus' passionate plea to come to his house to heal his daughter, verse 42 says that Jesus agreed and he went with him. However, this big screen event about Jairus' daughter is interrupted, isn't it? It's interrupted by a smaller screen event that suddenly popped up beginning at verse 43 and continues through verse 48, where Luke inserts this woman with an incurable disease. So first, the interruption, the small screen event that's a story within a story about Christ's healing of a woman with an incurable disease. And there are four things we'll consider concerning that theme. First, and I have it written out in your bulletin, first in verse 43, we have the woman's incurable physical condition. Second, in verse 44, the incurable woman's instantaneous healing. Third, in verses 45 to 7, the healed woman's call to publicly identify herself with Christ. And fourth and last, in verse 48, Christ's affirmation that the woman's faith in him had healed her. Again, the first point in verse 43 is this: the woman's incurable physical condition. Look at it again. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. Now, it's so easy to read over words like these and not feel the weight and the grievous implications of them. This woman had a physical disease that couldn't be cured. And Luke, the physician, identifies it as a flow of blood for 12 years. Now, according to Levitical law, I'd love to just pause and go into that portion right now, but in the interest of time, the Levitical law that God gave to Moses indicated that if this were a woman's condition, that she was socially and ceremonially unclean all that time, for 12 years. God gave many laws which were intended to illustrate defilement and stress the need for personal purity and holiness. And a woman's cycle was one of many things that illustrated that. Leviticus 15 explains that while a woman had an issue of blood, she was to be set apart from contact with all other people. And whoever touched her was unclean for the entire day until evening. Everything that she sat down on or laid upon was considered unclean. So she couldn't attend public worship or sit and eat a meal with a neighbor. And conjugal relations didn't happen during that time either. So imagine the implications of this poor woman's plight and condition for 12 years. Excluded, literally excluded from all social interaction. Excluded from all public worship activities. And if married, which she probably was, excluded from all normal sexual activity in marriage. In those days, husbands typically divorced wives that had this kind of ailment. This was a horrible physical condition that separated and alienated this poor woman from everyone and everyone from her. Now, verse 43 goes on to inform us that in addition to her physical and emotional suffering, this woman also suffered economically and financially. You notice at the end of verse 43 that she had spent not some, not part, but all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. If you've ever had a physical condition that can't be remedied and fixed or healed, then you know something of the plight of this poor woman. In desperation, motivated by her pain and weakness, she spent all the money that she had on any physician that offered a glimmer of hope of deliverance. And after a while, she simply had nothing left. No one could help her. Her physical condition was incurable. However, verse 44 tells us that when this woman went to Jesus, who had never found healing from anyone else for her diseased condition, something happened. She was instantly cured. She was instantly healed. This leads to the second point, the incurable woman's instantaneous healing. Verse 44. So she came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. So here's the scene. Jairus has successfully appealed to Jesus to accompany him to his house to heal his daughter. And verse 42 says, "But as he went, the multitudes of people thronged him," or pressed and crushed him is what it means. The crowds closely crowded him, and there was breathing room only. And as this sea of humanity, as it were, is moving in the direction of Jairus' home, this woman with an incurable disease slips into the back of the crowd and begins to work her way closer to the front where Jesus is. Perhaps some people in that crowd knew her and would recognize her and knew that she was unclean and unfit for human contact. So perhaps her head was more covered than usual as she moved in stealth mode, as it were, through that multitude. By the way, that was probably a very strenuous and painful exercise for that woman. Let me illustrate. Some years ago, I attended a conference, and that conference was absolutely jam-packed with people. And during a lunch break, everyone left to go somewhere to eat, but they had to wait outside to re-enter the conference center when they came back. And there were literally thousands of people waiting to get back in, and evidently everyone was wondering if there would be enough seating because it was very crowded. So guess what happened? As soon as the doors reopened, there was a practically a stampede to get in. And it would have been very difficult to work my way through that crowd and move forward ahead of others because they were so close together. I suppose if you were really strong and healthy, you might have some success coming from behind and moving your way past others. But this was a small, weak woman, handicapped by 12 years of sickness and disease. And yet, in her desperation, she inched her way through that crowd until she finally was within reach of the Lord Jesus. And verse 44 says that she reached out when she was near him and she touched the border of his garment. And the incurable woman was instantly healed. And here's how I think we can apply this. First of all, people must first recognize that they are hopelessly incurable before they will ever come to Christ for healing. Could I repeat it? People must first recognize that they are hopelessly incurable before they will ever come to Christ for healing. This is why it's so fruitless to offer Jesus to people who don't first realize that they are hopeless and helpless and desperately defiled and unclean. Until God's law slays them, they will never feel their need to come to Christ. And this is undoubtedly the greatest defect and omission in much of contemporary evangelism today. There is little, if any, use of God's law to diagnose sinners of their fatal condition. And I trust you know that's one of its grand purposes. That's why the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 wrote, "Therefore the law was our tutor or schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith." And in Romans 7:7, Paul explained that he came to a knowledge of sin through God's law, apart from which he wouldn't have known it. "What shall we say then?" he said. "Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law." For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. And therefore, Paul concludes in that same passage with these words. He says, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. So people must first recognize that they are hopelessly incurable before they will ever come to Christ for healing. And the demands of God's holy law are designed to bring sinners to a sense of hopelessness and utter despair, so that they might reach out by faith to Jesus Christ for justification and for healing. A second application is this: every Christian will one day be instantaneously healed of every physical sickness and disease at death or at the Lord's return. Let me repeat that. This is really good news, should be for all of us. Every Christian will one day be instantaneously healed of every physical sickness and disease, either at death or at the Lord's return. The experience of this woman is reenacted every time a believer dies, and it will also be reenacted at the moment Jesus returns. So Christian, listen, physical healing is coming for you. Physical healing is coming. Revelation 21:4, wonderful words, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You see, Christ's healing of this woman's incurable disease is a picture of the future healing of every incurable disease and physical infirmity that Christians have. Because at death or at the second coming, every believer will be instantaneously healed of every physical sickness and disease. And that's one great reason why we call the gospel good news. Well, once the woman's disease was instantly cured, Christ immediately called her to do something, which leads to the third point, which is this: Christ called the healed woman to publicly identify herself. Look at verse 45. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him, in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Now remember, Jesus was on another mission, right? A little girl was dying, and he was on his way to the home of Jairus. So why didn't he just let this healed woman go? Well, Peter and the disciples' questions seemed to be thinking the same when they said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?' What difference does it make who touched you, or that power went out from you? Why would you concern yourself with that? Why is it important to stop now and ask questions about the identity of someone that reached out and touched you with a hand of faith? Why not just let the person be healed and forget about it? Why not just move on and not make a big deal about their healing?" Well, of course, Jesus had a really good reason for wanting to do this, didn't he? He was calling this healed woman to publicly identify herself before everyone. And he knew, didn't he? He knew exactly who it was who had touched him. So it wasn't for his own benefit that he asked the question. On the contrary, it was for the benefit of others, of his disciples and the crowd and Jairus, but especially for this woman. She needed to identify herself as one who had been healed. Could I repeat that? She needed, the Lord knew, to identify herself as one who had been healed. Although urgent matters awaited him, Jesus wanted this woman to be clearly identified by others as the one whom he had healed. Lots of hands had been touching him, lots of people were following him, but only this woman had touched him with a hand of faith and was healed. I trust you see the application. Those whom Christ heals must speak and not be silent. Those whom Christ heals must speak and not be silent. How many times have you heard people voice this kind of objection to being vocal about their professed faith? They say, oh, my faith, you know, is a very personal thing, a very private thing. I'm a Christian, but I don't talk about it. My faith is very personal and private. Well, sorry, but Jesus disagrees. He says here that faith in him is a public matter. Public confession of Christ before men is a matter of great importance. There are no secret, silent Christians. No, they're all supposed to be publicly identified with Christ. But there are far too many professing Christians today, it seems, who are happy to keep their faith to themselves, to fly under the radar with it, as it were. However, that was not an option for this healed woman, and neither is it for you, Christian. Jesus called this healed woman to come out of her privacy and her concealment and to publicly identify herself with him. Her faith was not to remain a private matter. It was, in fact, to be a public matter. Because those whom Christ heals must speak and not be silent. Well, this in fact is what we see in verse 47, because the woman came to realize that the matter of her healing could not be hidden. Going public was necessary. Jesus was calling her to do it. So in verse 47, Luke records that when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason that she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Now, very briefly, in conclusion, the fourth point in verse 48 concerning Christ's healing of this woman's incurable disease is his wonderful declaration that her faith in him had healed her. Verse 48, look at it. My daughter, be of good cheer. Cheer up and be happy, because your faith in me has made you well. She was now rightly related to Christ by faith, and as such, adopted into his family as a daughter. And therefore, he wanted to draw attention to the faith that had been the conduit of her deliverance and healing. Let me explain. A conduit is like a pipe or a tube through which something flows. And Jesus wanted this woman to know that her trust and faith in him was the conduit through which her healing and deliverance had come. She believed that Jesus could heal her. And her faith in him was the pipe or the tube through which Christ's healing power flowed to her and made her well and would henceforth give her peace. And therefore, here is the application and conclusion. Faith alone in Christ alone is the God-appointed channel through which all spiritual healing, wellness, and peace flows. Let me repeat it. Faith alone in Christ alone is the God-appointed channel through which all spiritual healing, wellness, and peace flows. Commenting on this, William Hendrickson wrote, "Her faith, though not the basic cause of her cure, had been the channel through which the cure had been accomplished. It had been the instrument used by Christ's power and love to effect her recovery." This woman's physical condition is intended to portray every son and daughter of Adam's spiritual condition, namely, that there is no hope for our incurable disease apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ is the only means of healing the plague of sin. Every attempt this woman made to heal herself of her physical illness failed. And similarly, every attempt that sinners make to heal themselves of their spiritual illness also fails. Nothing could heal her physical sickness and disease, just as nothing can heal our spiritual sickness and disease, except one thing: faith in Jesus Christ. Because faith alone in Christ alone is the God-appointed channel through which all spiritual healing, wellness, and peace flows.